Blog Talk Radio.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit! Let's go hook him up!
Single-handedly saved everything about WrestleMania this past weekend, and I'm joined by one of my two co-hosts, and in fact, it happens to be the one that actually wasn't there, but we will try and get through this show anyway. Couture, what's going on?
Not much. What's going on?
Not too much, but have you noticed the new shiny, colorful switchboard on Blog Talk Radio?
It's very nice looking. I'm noticing that right now. I got it on my Kindle.
Right? They drew a little color, made it look all fancy.
And it probably still sucks anyway. They just added color to mask with how shitty it is.
Yeah, probably. But we haven't been here in a week, and we haven't had a show in 2 weeks. And the reason for that is because me and Craig went to WrestleMania. Unfortunately, Craig decided to go to the beach with the wife, or maybe the wife decided to go to the beach with Craig, so Craig is unable to do the show this week. So
that's right. He turned heel on us to go get a piece of tail.
Yeah, that's just so rude and unprofessional. But he did send a nice letter that he wanted us to read, and I will forgive Craig because he actually, believe it or not, had something nice to say about me, and I'm going to have to save this. Copy and paste this to save it for all eternity because it'll never happen again, probably. We are going to review WrestleMania, of course, and we're going to talk about all the different events that happened, and there was a lot of craziness. So I guess let's talk all the shenanigans first, and then we'll get to the WrestleMania itself as the main event. I am also watching the Shine pay-per-view live. So I will be giving a few little tidbits here and there. So I will not be watching the switchboard. So if anybody calls, you're in charge of seeing that.
Actually, no, they actually got this. Last week I put up added the new World Wrestling Network channel to my Roku. Pretty awesome.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. It's got like all the, it's got Shine and Shimmer and Dragon's Gate and CZW and FIP and I've been watching a lot of kayfabe commentaries. We've got the whole library up there, so pretty cool.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I heard they had a lot of stuff that I don't have in a Roku. So. But, yeah, I knew there was a whole shitload of Shimmer on there. And we will be talking Shimmer, and we will be talking the live one-man protest that I was demonstrating at the Shimmer show. But basically, this whole weekend was like a freaking whirlwind. I mean, I knew I had a whole lot of shit going on, but I didn't realize I had that much shit going on, and it took me like 2 days to recover when I got home because my old ass is getting too old for this, but I think I'm going to keep trying for a few more years until I need like a scooter and oxygen, then maybe I'll think about giving it up. But what was pretty cool is, I flew to San Jose And I got there kind of early, about 10:30 or so, and there were so many wrestlers walking around this whole weekend that, you know, it was almost like you'd run into them at, like, surprisingly, or you wouldn't even notice you were there with a wrestler until, like, you just out of the blue, you just like, hey, wait a minute. And that happened to me right off the bat. I got off the plane. I'm waiting for the shuttle. I kind of sat by myself to the side from where other people I knew were waiting for the same shuttle because I was a little gassy and had a rip some. But I get on the shuttle, and there's a couple guys talking, and they're talking ROH, but I'm not really thinking too much of it. And then I get out of the car, and then I notice that the guy that was sitting right behind me was ACH of Ring of Honor. And basically where the hotel I was staying at was where they were having the WrestleCon festivities itself, basically. And this hotel was kind of cool. It wasn't like one big, like, you know how like a Holiday Inn is one building, basically?
Yeah.
This was like you had your lobby, bar, restaurant kind of thing in the front. And then you had like multiple, like there was like 8 or 9 buildings, and they were kind of like in a circle, and so it wasn't all connected. And then like WrestleCon was basically to the side of one area. And I didn't go to it last year, but I don't know about you, but I heard like a lot of people bitch and complain about it last year. You know that.
Hey, Ed, I hate to interrupt you, but we got a phone call, so I'm gonna put this person on.
Okay. All right, I'll put him on.
Okay.
Caller calling from area code 479. Who's this?
This is John in Arkansas. Hey, Ed.
Hey, what's going on, John? How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I just figured I'd give a listen to your program this evening. My first time listening. I hear I'm busting on you a little bit on the Observer Live thing, but, you know, they got to cut you some slack, bro.
Yeah. Brian and Dave, they're just, I mean, Brian and Shemp, they're just very rude people, and they need to learn how to be stars and give more women's wrestling a chance. But anyway, we're talking about WrestleMania. What were your thoughts about WrestleMania? I know sometimes you call in and you have gripes here and there, but as a whole, how did you enjoy the show? Were you down on it? Did you love it? I myself was not looking forward to it at all, but I thought it was fantastic.
Well, you know, I've heard various different comments about it since it went down. And, you know, the company likes to refer to it as the greatest of all time. I'd say it's far from the greatest, but, you know, I can't complain with anything that I saw. I mean, I may not have liked every booking choice they made, but, you know, it is what it is with WWE. We just kind of have to sit back and take what they give us, in essence, a lot of the time. The Brock thing, I like the Brock deal, and I'm a huge proponent for keeping Brock as strong as possible as an attraction, because you've got to have him because they just don't have anything else there. And they hold back people in the NXT thing for so long that any buzz they may have from the internet community that could help them at some point is lost, because by the time they actually put them up there, the buzz has gone away. Like when they get Samoa Joe here, if they get Samoa Joe signed in to the NXT thing, they got to bring him up immediately, make a big deal about the guy being there, and do something with him. Finn Balor's pretty much the same way. I can't say that I have a problem with any of the talents that are on the roster, even some of the guys that aren't, you know, quote-unquote, the greatest in-ring, you know, technique-skilled guys. You know, but there's no rule that says a wrestler has to be one particular type of mold. You can have a guy that does kicks and punches and relies on power. You can have a great technical master and that kind of thing. And I think you need to give both genders an equal amount of time and not set them up for failure. There are loads of talented girls out there on the independent scene, as you well know. A lot of them in the Shine group.
I just witnessed Shazza McKenzie from Australia defeat win the opening match, and she's actually fantastic.
I tell you, there are several of them that I like. I got turned on to it by my pal April Hunter, who occasionally works for China. I've been with her for a number of years, and she's she's the one who basically changed my whole opinion about women can be utilized in the wrestling business, and I'm a huge proponent for giving them equal amount of time. I mean, it's time to get with it. You know, Ronda Rousey shows us that women can be a draw if presented in a proper, serious manner. I mean, it's time for all the promotions to wake up. Do that, the big national promotions, and just things organically happen. This is Jim Ross's podcast. One of the big gripes that he talks about is not letting things be organic. They've got to start doing that. And I can promise you, the casual masses that tune in, not the hardcores like you and I who are reading The Observer and things like that, they will gravitate into it if things are presented in a serious manner. And you know, if we don't vote bipolar in our creative direction, 3 weeks we like this guy to be a heel, 2 weeks later we want him to be a baby face. Stick to the plan, take it all the way through, and make adjustments after you've given it a fair amount of time to marinate around.
Oh, yeah, I agree. But, you know, it's kind of like...
I'm just going to box now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but I mean, like, I totally agree with you, but it's like every time someone, you know, goes on their soapbox and they talk about what they want or what should be done right, it's just like they just have their own total idea. And, you know, it's just, it's like nothing you could say, I could say, Dave could say, that's going to, you know, they might change a plan here or there, but they're just going to be in their weird mindset. And sometimes it's an incredibly hard mindset to understand, but. You know, I mean, you know, like I say, as down as I was on WrestleMania and as much out of touch as I think Vince McMahon was, you know, the old man fucking pulled it out of his ass someday and you know, just made me excited for wrestling, which I hadn't really been up until fucking the actual show itself.
I mean, the amazing thing is that they do this all the time. And every time they do something counterproductive, they end up flipping it somehow, and they come out smelling like a rose. It's freaking insane that they keep managing to do this. But, you know, we as wrestling fans, we tolerate it. And I don't know what to say. I mean, I've been watching since I was 5 years old. I'm 36 now. There's a lot of changes that have happened. I still remember some of the territory systems and things like that. Growing up in Arkansas, I got exposed to NWA Crockett, WWF, Von Erich's World Class, a little bit of Memphis. I even saw some semblances of the Fuller Continental stuff. And then you get into the aspects of New Japan, All Japan, and Mid-South Wrestling, and, you know, Jerry Jarrett's CWA stuff. You know, there's stuff out there, good stuff out there on the independent scene that's a throwback to all these great things. And if Vince could somehow co-opt some of this stuff, I can tell you there'd be a great high level of resurgence in wrestling. The other thing he has to remember, whether he wants to admit this to himself or not, UFC is direct competition for you. And so if it is competition, there is no unwritten rule that says you can't make an offer to a popular UFC star, male or woman, and co-opt them into your system and do something intelligent, entertaining, and unique with them.
Well, they already presented them, say, pretty much. With the Ronda Rousey thing, so, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna go ahead and let you go because we do have a whole lot to get a review over the night. But we really do appreciate you calling in and giving your opinions. Please feel free to listen to the show again and feel free to call in anytime you want. And I will be I'll be hearing you on Wrestling Observer Live here or there.
Here and there. Yep. Have a good night, Ed.
Cool, man. Take it easy. Have a good one. All right. Going back to WrestleCon, because like I say, like
what time
the hotel.
Observer Live come on? What time does Observer Live come on?
During the week, it comes out at 2.
At 2? Okay.
Yeah.
I was just wondering.
From 2 to 3, it's just an hour. And some weird shit's been going on. They keep getting knocked off the air, and you'll just hear weird music for like fucking like today it seemed like it was 5 minutes and shit.
Was it just on like the front page of the website or something?
There's links if you can get it from the front page of the link site from the website. But I don't know what's going on, but like yeah, it's Sports Byline. It's just a step above Block Talk Radio when you think about it.
I remember when I used to type that show every Sunday.
Yeah. But like say going back to the Russell call, so they had the way they had it broken down is they had like a big room where they had like the majority of the WrestleCon as far as vendors and the wrestlers. And then by the pool, they had a little room, and that's where they would stick in their big featured guests like Ric Flair, Bret Hart. And then there was another little room that they'd stick in a few other people. And by the time I went to check on that room on Friday, because I went to the Friday afternoon session, kind of much cleared out. There really wasn't anyone in there. But in the main one, it was pretty cool. The only people you really had to wait in lines for were like Rey Mysterio. He had a line. Foley had a line at times. But other than that, I mean, it was real easy just to get up there and get a photo and talk to everybody. Like, you know, one of the first photos I took was with Terry Funk. And he was cool because he let us take two of them. And I remember one time he was on Between the Ropes with Fritz, and his dog was interrupting the interview, and he kept screaming and yelling at his dog, Cooter Brown. So that would be funny.
He got a dog named Cooter Brown.
Yeah, yeah. And he was all yelling, Cooter Brown, I'm going to whip you, Cooter Brown, because Cooter Brown wouldn't shut the fuck up.
That's what we always say in the South, it's like, you know, I'm drunker than Cooter Brown. You know, you can get really fucked up or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought that'd be funny and bring up Cooter Brown, and then, oh, Cooter Brown, he passed away a couple years ago. He was 17 years. I was like, oh man, I made Terry Funk sad. God damn it. But yeah, I got to talk to Terry for a while. I got to the actual first person that I saw was we had just gone down from the room, and it was me and Barb. Barb actually made the trip. It was the first time I'd seen her since she moved away to be closer to her son, like at the beginning of last year. So we're down and we're about to. What's that?
I said, where she moved to?
Oh, Charleston.
Oh.
Ric Flair country.
Ah.
And so we get down, and as soon as we get down, she's like, oh, I forgot the camera. So she goes up to get the camera. So I'm just waiting outside the building. And the very first person I see is Austin Aries walking by. So I scream out, I go, hey, Austin. And I could just tell he kind of like just shaking his head. He's like, God damn, fucking Marks won't leave me alone. So he's walking, I'm like, Aries! And he's still kind of just like trying to pretend, you know, like he doesn't hear me or whatever. So I kind of start walking toward him. I'm like, hey, man, I don't know if you remember me. I smoked a joint with you in Houston. And I didn't say peach, but I go, I'm a friend of the Viggity. And he's like, and then he looks at me, he's, oh, yeah, I remember you. And then he talked to me for a couple minutes before he went to go get something to eat. But when he was walking, he's like, I could just tell. He's like, God damn, these motherfuckers just won't leave me alone. So I thought that was pretty fucking funny, man. And then we go to the convention. And then, on walking to the convention, we pass Devon Dudley. Oh, who had Barbara had gotten in the night before me. And apparently Devon was hitting on Barbara the night before. Because she had told me that there was this one big, scary black guy with scars that was, like calling her baby and just kind of, like, hitting on her at the bar. And so we're walking, and I see him, and I'm like, hey, what's going on, Dion? Because I just looked up, and he was right there, right? And then, like, I just mentioned, hey, I know one of your students. And he goes, who? So and I was wearing this brand-new T-shirt I got from Pro Wrestling Tees. It's a blue pants, basically. It's just a cartoon blue pants. So I show him the T-shirt, and he just yells out, oh, Blue Pants, I love her. And then he just, you know, gets on doing his thing. And then we get to the show, and then the girl who's taking the banners is this one girl from Shine that I've met a couple times. Her name's Amanda Rodriguez. She's super cool. And then we went in there, and then, like I say, Ray's over here with a line here. You know, Rikishi's there. Was Scott Hall there? Kevin Nash was there. Demolition was there, and they're wearing their makeup gimmick from Demolition. And So I went to go take a picture with those old guys, and it was funny because, like, Darso was talking to someone, so the first person that I talked, you know, I was talking to Bill Eadie, the former Masked Superstar, and I was telling him, I was like, man, when I first started watching wrestling, man, you were like the top heel. You were like in the Masked Superstar at WTBS at 605. And then he was all like, you know, he thought that was pretty cool. And then, like, he's like, oh, he's talking. We can take a picture. And so he took a picture with me, just me and him. And then finally Darso, like, came over, and I finally got the pictures of both of them. And I told Darso, man, I really love the Demolition gimmick, but I was hoping you were going to be the golfer this weekend. He just kind of got a laugh out of that. But they were, Bill Eadie especially, they were super, super, super nice. And Travesty of Justice on the Shine show, as Nikki Storm lost to Andrea, that former Rosie Lalalove. And Nikki Storm, I almost got kicked out of Shimmer because I was recording one of her interviews, but I did get one of the two that she cut. She's awesome, man. She's like the most charismatic wrestler in the world. Anyway, back to WrestleCon. I get there at I'm supposed to be at a certain spot at 2:00 to get a picture because I had prepaid for a picture with Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat, right? And so I get there, and they had sent me an email the day before. So I'm just thinking they're sending, like, a reminder, like, you know, make sure you're not late, be there at 2. Well, apparently WWE needed Ricky that day on Saturday, so they made him move it up. I mean, on Friday, they made him move it up, so it was actually at 12:30. So I missed Ricky, but to be cool about it, they were like, they gave me the photo of Ric Flair, and then they gave me 2 autographs. So at least they tried to make it right, you know what I mean? But that was pretty cool. But I was there taking a photo with Flair, dude. I was just so starstruck that I could barely say anything, dude. I was just like, I wasn't able to speak until I had already gotten up and was, you know, it was time to leave. And then I started bringing up, seeing him do a Broadway with David Von Erich at the Freeman and stuff. But, I was marking out. I was like in Mark Heaven right there. Yeah. And then speaking of the Four Horsemen, Tessa Blanchard is coming out to wrestle on this Shine pay-per-view, and she was at WrestleCon, and I wasn't able to get a photo with her, but I did sit next to her almost the entire fucking ROH show later that night. But, like, I got other photos with I took a photo with where I'm the meat sandwich between Kelly and Maurice, and then Barbara took a second one, and the second one, Maurice put her hand, like, over my face, like, you know what, like, you know, she did that gesture. That was pretty cool. Took a photo with ODB, Jessica Havoc, fucking, I just took Shingles a photo. I took a photo with Noelle Foley, dude. And
oh, really?
Yeah, dude, and as pretty as she is in pictures and on, like, Raw those couple times she came out, she is even hotter in person. And here's the amazing thing is, like, you know, I'm just a shy hair under 6 foot, you know what I mean? I'm not saying I'm the tallest guy, but I'm above average. She was about at least 1.5 inches taller than me. And she was just wearing, like, boots with no heels, dude. It blew my mind how fucking tall she is, dude. I mean, if she really wants to get into the business and she can and deal with all the bullshit, I think she's going to be a major star when she does get into it, you know, a full time, because yeah, she's beautiful, and like I say, I couldn't believe how freaking tall she was. And that was, let's see, who else was out there? Just, you know, just a whole shitload of people. Like, I got to talk to Roderick for a while. Got a picture with Tia Trinidad, Velvet Sky, the Dudley Boys. There was just a shitload of people. Like I said, it was real easy to get there. So everything in the day was starting off great. Oh, have you ever looked at that Sunny thread on the board?
I think I ventured into it once. It's too big for me.
Have you ever seen the pictures or anything about Todd?
Oh, yeah.
I saw Todd. Todd was at WrestleCon. I marked out. I didn't say anything to him, though, but I told Barbara. I go, Barbara, this guy is like one of the most famous guys on the website message board. His name's Todd, and I told her all about Todd. And then when we were on the bus leaving, Todd walks by, and I just yell, hey, everybody, it's Todd. And then you hear everybody like, oh, my God, it's Todd. Take a picture. But yeah,
he's one of the ones that took the took the picture in the bed, I think.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of which, Sunny put more hours at the gimmick table than any other wrestler there. From what I hear, she was there from open to close, and I saw her close it on the Saturday at the end of the wrestler show. And she didn't even bother to try anything in shape this year. The road has owned Sunny. She looked worse than freaking old-ass Bill Eady. Oh, I shouldn't be being poor Sunny. But I'm sure she made a little money. Okay, so now here's where shit just starts going wrong, Couture, and everybody else. I don't know if you heard a little bit about the bus ride to ROH and dinner.
Yeah,
well, okay. It's partially my fault, I will say that, when I totally look at the situation. It's partially the bus driver's fault, and it's partially the person who took the information down. Because when I booked this bus, I specifically gave him the address for this restaurant, Fogo de Chao, which was at Santana Row, which was the opposite way, basically, of where ROH was. ROH was in another place called Redwood City. So we get on the bus after I find it, and I get everybody on the bus, and I was worried as shit because there was this one couple that I was pretty sure they were riding from the hotel to dinner. Luckily, they were at dinner when we got there, but I was kind of worried, so kind of waited a little bit just to make sure everybody was on. So then we take off, and we're cruising, and traffic's really not that bad, and it's like it's kind of smooth sailing. Everything's going great, and then all of a sudden I'm thinking, well, this does seem like it's kind of a longer drive than I would have thought. And I asked the bus driver, I go, are we almost there? And she's like, oh, four more exits, and we're there. So I'm like, all right, that doesn't sound too bad. So then we finally get to the fourth exit, and we start to exit, and I see Redwood City, and I'm like, oh, my fucking God, what the fuck? So I scooted up to her. I go, I think we're going to the wrong place. We're supposed to go to dinner. And she's like, well, this is the first address I saw, and she handed me her itinerary. And what happened was where they were supposed to have the address for dinner, they just had the zip code. Now, they did have that. We had a dinner stop, you know, over here on the other side. But it just said the zip code. So she just clued in on the first full address she saw and put that in her GPS. Right. So I get her to turn around and we're on the way. And then that's when I get a text from Max Larry and he's asking what's going on. And then, you know, I told him, like, I figured it out before everybody else, thankfully, because if I hadn't figured it out right there, we wouldn't have known until we got to the building. So we're going back, and I'm trying to be positive, but in my mind, I'm losing my fucking mind because, okay, I got people who pay fucking $40 to get on this bus and $80 for fucking dinner. So I'm like, God damn, I don't need people to be pissed off at me. I'm trying not to look. I'm just looking with a corner in my eye for the people, and just that's it because I just don't want to see any hate and shit. So we finally get to the place we're going. We're an hour and 10 minutes late. And shit. You know, luckily it was Fogo de Chao, where it's a place where you can, you know, they serve you pretty much right from the beginning, right as soon as you sit down. So luckily that, you know, we got there, everybody got to eat. You know what I mean? We, you know, got to tear it up. They even rushed out the desserts when they found out we were leaving. And it was funny because Brian's all in a hurry and he's like, we got to go and we're going to take off. And I'm like, are you sure they're bringing out chocolate cake? And he just turns, Dave. We gotta wait a minute, and we gotta wait, then we can go. so we finally eat, and we go outside, and we have to wait a couple minutes for the bus to backtrack because it was kind of a busy, you know, like a downtown area kind of thing. So the bus comes.
Yeah,
and gets
I think
us,
we
man.
Got somebody else on the line. I think
check it out. Oh, it's Alex. Jesus Christ! All right, Alex, don't talk. Take up the whole show. What's going on, Alex?
Wow. I was so excited hearing all your stories about all the pictures you took that I just couldn't even contain it anymore, and I decided to call in. Is there any more people you took pictures with, Ed?
Unfortunately, yes. I know I didn't take one with you, so I think we're stuck in a group photo, so I might have to crop you out. But, yeah, I took a whole shitload of photos. I saw you marking out and taking
I'm just
photos
kidding.
Of Dave and Brian and... You know,
just kidding.
Like
I don't want to hear about your picture stories. More importantly, Couture, was he not boring you with all the picture stories? You were being very kind to him. But God bless. First with the blue pants reference about, oh, Devon, Do you know whose shirt I'm wearing? It's Blue Pants. Do you know Blue Pants? Yes. Okay, we all know Blue Pants.
Hey, Alex, you do
and
know there's
secondly,
this text that I can push and I can cut you off in a second, like, you know, like I'm about to do right now?
Anyways, so what were your thoughts on, because we were slowly getting there. We were at the dinner, and then you were going to say we went to the Ring of Honor show. What were your thoughts on the Ring of Honor show?
Were you asking me, or are you going to give us your thoughts on the
Ring
of Honor?
Was I there?
I'm interested in Ed's thoughts, because Contreras wasn't there.
Yeah,
but my thoughts were, you know, that the show was oversold, for one thing. The only real complaint I have is they oversold that place. I'm sure you'd agree with me. They oversold that place by like 200-300 people, because that thing was like a sardine can, and wasn't the best like sight lines or whatever. So as far as like that, that's the only thing I have negative. As far as the show, it was awesome seeing Jushin Thunder Liger and actually work a real match. And I like how many matches he's been having to do in New Japan. It was great seeing Samoa Joe, and Samoa Joe was actually probably in the best shape that I've seen since he first got to TNA. And even though he kind of hurt himself, he had a great match. It was awesome sitting next to and looking at Tessa Blanchard's legs all night long. That was quite a highlight. It was cool meeting Bob Mould from the David Letterman Paul Schaefer show. And it was awesome. And the bus got there right on time. We got there at like 8:02, so as far as all the disasters, everything kind of seemed to work out. But, yeah, the show was great. It was great seeing you. It was funny because me and Damian were talking about how awesome it would be if they brought in Lacey for Jimmy's last match. And lo and behold, they bring out Lacey and they have the big reunion. So that was pretty cool. That was actually, I thought that was pretty awesome, actually. And as a whole, I got to give ROH thumbs up. It just wasn't, you know, like I said, it was just a little too crowded in there. Most of us were able to either sit with each other at times, so that was kind of cool, but we weren't able to have, like, one big old section. And, yeah, man, thumbs up for ROH.
I thought it was too crowded. It was too hot. Those were my big, two big complaints. And I had pretty good seats, so the sidelines weren't really an issue for me. I came in during the Jimmy Jacobs-BJ Whitmer match, and, the only other negative about the show was Joe. I felt like, and of course this happens to everyone, but I mean, I looked at Joe and I felt like he was an inch shorter on all of his dives and all, like everything that he did that was required athleticism, all the athletic stuff. I felt like, you know, he just, an inch shorter, he jumped, an inch shorter when he did his dive. I really, I don't know, it made me really sad because like he used to be able to do incredible things for his size, and he still does. He still absolutely is an incredible athlete, but it definitely you can tell that he's just getting up there in age, and he's not quite moving the same. But apparently he hurt his knee really early in the match, and so that may have led to some of it as well. But him and Jay had a really good match. And what's interesting is that, you know, I know, you, Ed, you've been going to Ring of Honor shows for many years, especially WrestleMania weekend. And they've kept the same group of guys for the most part throughout the years, right? I mean, they've had some new guys come up. But a lot of the guys like Roderick Strong, Chris Daniels, they've been there for a while. If not, they've left and come back. And they're all really, really, really good, like really good. And that's the one thing I could say is, like, when you go to Ring of Honor now, it's a professional wrestling product as compared to where these guys were young, trying to make their names. And would do, you know, daredevil type stuff to kind of get their names out there. You know, the no psychology is all the old timers talk about. But I mean, these guys are like really, really good professional wrestlers. What would you say about that, Ed?
Yeah, for the most part, I mean, they do have a lot of young guys who are, you know, like Adam Page and those guys. They're a little more spot machines. But as far as like the main guys, like you said, Roderick, Christopher Daniels, Kazarian, those guys are just professionals, man. They everything they do is great. Like Evan, if anything with Evan, Evan looks fucking phenomenal in that 1 6-man match. In fact, I think he was in the best shape of everybody there. He looked like he's ready to go back on Raw next week. But yeah, everyone is the main guys. They worked their ass off, put on a good show, and yeah, like I was saying, it was like ROH was a pretty thumbs up show. An update from Shine: Tessa Blanchard just lost to the chick fight runner-up this past weekend in Shimmer from New Zealand, Evie, who I got to meet and take photos with her, and she was awesome.
WrestleMania was an amazing show, one of the best pro wrestling shows I've ever seen. And the one last thing I'd like to say is that it was super cool seeing a new crop of board members. Maybe because I haven't attended WrestleMania in a few years, maybe that's why I was so unfamiliar with a lot of the faces, but a lot of new people that I'd never seen before. I thought that was super cool that the website, obviously it's grown since we've joined, but continual new faces. And apparently I heard someone complimented you on Reddit, which interesting, you know, like now that's how far we've come. In 2006, I'd never even heard of Reddit. I'm not sure if it existed. So now in 2015, you get compliments on Reddit for your amazing logistics skills. So there you go.
Yeah, someone mentioned that to me, but I have no idea what it was or what was said or what was going on or who did that. It's kind of weird. I asked for a link, but no one gave it to me. But anyway, I guess it was
somewhat nice. I wouldn't even know
where
to look.
Yeah. I guess it was somewhat nice to see you there. It was nice to see your lovely wife. She's actually, unlike you, she's actually awesome. And seeing our good friend Carla there was cool. And everybody else, including like, you know, including like the most hated troll on the board, the troll who all the trolls hate, Johnny Half was at the show and had a good time and was an awesome dude. And
Half was actually next to me at the Jim Ross event, which I don't believe you attended, correct?
No, I didn't. I was at the Shimmer show.
Let me tell you about this Jim Ross event. Okay, first of all, I didn't know really what to expect going to the Jim Ross event because I think Jim Ross is definitely one of the best commentators of all time, but I think he's kind of fallen into that, you know, I'm an old timer and I'll just, you know, deconstruct everything the new guys are doing and yada, 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 and whatever. So I didn't really know what to expect in the show. The show was really, really awesome. He just told a bunch of good stories. And I think that's what works, I guess, at the Jim Ross show is he's got like 5 trillion stories. And so he probably just, you know, writes them down because he came out with a note thing. And so, you know, he told maybe, I don't know if I had to guess, maybe 8 to 9 stories, but they were pretty long stories and really, really fun. And then Samoa Joe came out and then he discussed working in talent relations when Samoa Joe got a look. And the reasons why at the time the company wasn't interested in Joe, but he wished him luck in the future, you know, now that he is going to WWE, which Joe never said, but because it's that weird thing. I don't know if you remember when Willie Mack got picked up, but I guess you have to pass a whole bunch of stuff and yada, yada. So it could all not work out in the end, but hopefully it does for Joe. But so the Jim Ross show was awesome. And I would suggest anyone who can see it, go see it. My buddy Dale had seen it in the past and apparently this was a completely different story time. So fun show. And then at the end of it, Court Bauer had set up an exclusive meet and greet for Observer subscribers. And Garrett Gonzalez was in charge of wrangling everyone up. And he told us all to meet by the little side room they had. Anyway, so we all did. I would say it's about 30, 35 of us, I think. That could be wrong.
Yeah,
the security there,
like
there was
50.
Okay, yeah, maybe 50. But the security there was 2 security guards in particular, one male, one female, who I can only equate it to, like, have you ever been to a concert and then the band's done and they're like, oh, you know, there's no more songs, everyone go home, and, you know, they're kind of
well,
like,
I have a story that I'm going to tell when you're off the line about just that, so I'm going to let you finish your story first.
Oh, okay, very well. So the security guards were like, oh, there's no meet and greet, you guys need to go home, but they were being serious. And they were like, I don't know why you're waiting by this room. Only people that can get in is press. There's no meet and greet. You guys aren't getting in. And so Garrett talks to Cord, and finally they start allowing us to siphon in, right, 10 at a time. And the security staff continually made it hard on us. And I would like to say the Rock Bar in whatever city we were in, San Jose, San Francisco, whatever, the worst security guards ever. I don't know why anyone would go there normally.
I'm going to have you beat, Alex. I'm going to have you beat.
Oh, I'm excited to hear it. I'm excited to hear it. But the worst security guards ever. Apparently this was the biggest event. Now, this is unofficial reports, but I think someone talked to management and said this is one of the biggest events they'd ever had at their rock bar. And clearly the staff wasn't trained to deal with crowds that were any bigger of size than 50, 55 people, because they were the rudest staff ever. And I can't see myself ever attending an event at that location ever again, but terrible staff. Finally got to go in there and talk to Jim Ross, and I got to tell him that, you know, I feel like WWE gives a bad rap to the Bill Watts era of WCW. They always portray it as, oh, you know, he didn't like the top rope and yada, but that era of WCW is awesome, and I wanted to tell Jim Ross.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite ones, too.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, the Miracle Violence connection was awesome. Rick Rude was awesome. Sting was awesome. Steiners were awesome. I mean, like, there's a lot of stuff going on during that era that were awesome. I mean, you can deconstruct any era of professional wrestling and say, well, this was kind of hokey and this was kind of hokey. But, I mean, generally, as a rule, it had really good wrestling. And, you know, it was what it was. You know, Todd Martin and I have been on this rally to change people's perceptions on that era. And we every time we get together with Dave, we have a conversation with him about it, about how we feel like that era is mischaracterized. And it's mostly due to these damn WWE DVDs. But anyway, so Rock Bar sucks. Jim Ross show was awesome. It was awesome seeing everyone. Ed, like I said earlier, Ed, he has a lot of stories about the pictures he's taken, but he is a logistics expert. And it was very beneficial to have the bus take you to, even though I don't think I had the bus take me anywhere, but I had the bus pick me up and take me back to wherever I was going. And that was extremely beneficial. And plan better. I didn't plan this one very well because I had work constraints, but hopefully I can attend Dallas, but I will definitely be going to Vegas. So looking forward to see everyone there. And I don't know, man, it's weird. Like, I don't know, some of the old school guys are like almost like cousins, almost like distant cousins now. You know what I mean? Because you see them a couple times a year, and it's a
good thing. Yeah, and you're
the
one that everybody doesn't like. You just get drunk and embarrass everybody.
That's not true at all, Ed. I think you're being, hateful.
But cool.
So tell me your security guard story. I'm excited to hear it. Your security guard story.
All right, well, you know, this it happened right after ROH, because after ROH, we got everybody, we got back on the bus, and I even had four drunk guys beg me to let them on the bus, so I charged them $20 ahead and threw them in there, and then they found out we were going to, like, because some of us bought tickets to NXT knowing that there was only a chance that we'd get one match, if that. I guess part of the adventure was, you know, just getting there, and maybe that would be the excitement of it. But we get on the bus, we're on the way, we get there, and we get to NXT, where we get, like, about a block or two away, as close as they could get us, because it was blocked off. So we jump on the bus, and we rush, and we go down the block, and we climb all the stairs, and we get to the door, and everyone's happy because we had got word that intermission had started, like, right when we left ROH or something. So we're like, we'll get to see something. And we're so happy and excited, and we get to the door, and there's a guy with the yellow jacket and the scanner, and he scans the first ticket, and then there's the X, and he says, it says the wrong day, so he asks the person to step to the side, and he goes, stand the next person, it won't let him in, and he scans all our tickets, and it refused all of our tickets because it was 12:02 at night, and the computer was saying it was a different day, and the tickets were void, even though they were legit printed out tickets. So this guy, he was a little handicapped. He could barely walk around that good. But he was like, and he's like, okay, just stay here. I mean, I know those are tickets. Let me call my supervisor, and we'll get you guys in. She'll figure it out. So he calls this lady over, and this lady was the biggest fucking bitch in the entire fucking world. She comes up. He's like, hey, I scanned these tickets. They're good tickets, but it scanned them. It says they won't go because it's past midnight. And she just looks at us. I'm sorry. You can't come in. Goodbye. Have a good night. Gotta go. Go, 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 go. And we're like, no, excuse us. These are real tickets. You can look at them and see the real tickets. And he's like, oh, I see the real tickets, but it's not scanning. You gotta go. Please leave the area. And we're like, we're trying to be cool at first. And we're like, look, you know, it's 12:02. That's why it's saying it's the wrong day. The show's still going on. We have legit tickets. You know they're legit tickets. He's like, I'm sorry. I can't help you. You gotta go. We're like, is your supervisor here? Can we talk to somebody? oh, they're here, but they're busy. You got to go. And she's constantly waving us off, being the biggest fucking bitch. Luckily, more people are coming that have the same plan as us to get there after ROH, a bunch of them being Euros who spent a lot of money and weren't shy about talking about how much money they spent. So they start making the scene. And she's not having it. She's not having it. She doesn't give a fuck. She knows they're good tickets, but because we're 2 minutes late, we're fucked, right? So she's just being a total bitch. And the other guys are starting to make more noise and getting loud, so more of the Yellow Jackets that were there, you know, ushering or whatever, they kind of make their way. And we're thinking, okay, they're going to fucking all fucking push us away, you know, they're going to, you know, that they're all going to be together and not let us in. But, this lady must just be the biggest fucking meanest, nastiest person in real life because her coworkers turned on her. Because one of the English guys goes, what is your name? And she's like, I'm not telling you my name. I don't have to tell you her my name. And the guy standing next to her, this one, a young black kid, he's like, her name is Laura so-and-so. And gives us her name. And I think this is bullshit, guys. If it was just up to me, I'd let you in. Those are legit tickets. I know they are. And then the guy next to me, yeah, man. I mean, that's screwed up. But, you know, she's the boss, and they all kind of turned on her. So finally, she was all embarrassed and upset. And finally, they're like, okay, let's do it the old-fashioned way. Let's tear the ticket. So they tore our ticket, so we finally got to go in about 10 minutes later because technology told her it was 12:02, couldn't think on her own. So like, hey, let's just tear the tickets the old-fashioned way until all her workers turn on her, until there's about 20 people making a fucking near riot outside the building just because she was just had the nastiest attitude, wasn't willing to talk to anybody, call anybody, just like, no, fuck you guys, get the fuck out of here. But we got in right when Sasha and Charlotte was starting, so we got to see all of that match, which was a great match. And then we got to see the long Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens promo, and then we got to see Balor versus Neville, which was also a good match. And it was a great event. I mean, it was probably one of the nicest venues of the weekend, honestly. And it was a crazy crowd. Unfortunately, I got there late, so I missed the 5,001 people chanting for Blue Pants. That was earlier in the night. And so I had to get that Blue Pants reference in there. But I missed that, but the rest of the show was awesome. And then Gary was nice enough to give me and Barbara right back to the room. But everybody that I met in San Jose was fucking actually awesome, unless you were a security guard. Then somehow you have the right to be the biggest douchebag in the world.
I second that. And real quickly about NXT, what do you think about, because apparently this summer NXT is going to sign a few more independent talents with the hopes of running it as a second brand. What are your thoughts on NXT doing this? Because I think I have some differing thoughts. So I'm just curious about what you guys are.
Well, I think it's a good move because you don't want to expose NXT because, yes, NXT is the top program right now because you have these awesome matches between Balor, Neville, and Kenta, and Owens. But after that, you have this incredibly big drop-off. So if you're going to bring in a guy like Ryan Kendrick, Rhino, old Blue Pants, experienced workers who can work with these young guys or young girls who are very inexperienced and kind of carry them and show them how to work in front of a crowd, I think it's a good thing. It's good that they get extra money, and I'm all for my good friend Blue Pants making more money. So, you know, I think that it's a good idea that they do that. And in fact, I wish they would hire, even if they don't think they have any chance of making it to the main roster, I think they should give out more contracts to people just like I said, just for them to come work with people. I mean, there's a reason why Carmella is not over and Blue Pants is. It's because one has no idea how to play to the crowd and the other one does. You know what I mean? And if Carmella works with Blue Pants every night, she will slowly learn how to do that. So I think it's something they should do.
Trevor, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I think you worry about it getting too much exposure because you worry about the product getting watered down and changed by, you know, people that beforehand didn't have their fingerprints on it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like, I don't know, maybe a Vince McMahon or somebody like that wants to make it look more like the TV product, the main roster product. So that's the only thing I'd worry about.
I have a very sad update to report from the Shine pay-per-view. My very good friend Solo Darling was just put through a table and looked like she was dead, but luckily she's moving around, so she's still alive, thank God, but that was just terrible. How could they do that to such a nice girl?
So after attending the Ring of Honor show, like I said, the biggest compliment that I can give, and it's a very, very strong compliment, is all those guys are professional wrestlers. And I think going up to NXT for a while, training in a professional setting like NXT, getting exposure on NXT television, even though it's not television watched by millions of people, it's still a television show. And I think that, you know, the main roster doesn't have enough room for all these guys, right? They don't have enough room for 8 new guys a year. So what I'm excited about is eventually some of these guys are going to come back through the indies. And I don't even think it's an insult really anymore to get cut by WWE, right? At one point, I think if you got cut by WWE, it was a big disgrace. But now, I think if you get cut by WWE, it's okay. Now
it's
you get to wrestle for all these other companies. Yeah, it's almost like a badge of honor. I agree with you, depending on the reason why you were cut. And I think it adds a little bit to you, and there's a whole new talent crop for you to work with who are very talented wrestlers as well. No longer will you be getting cut by WWE and having to work, you know, Dewey the Dumpster, even though I'm sure in, you know, some of these shows that aren't televised, there's Dewey the Dumpsters. But generally, you're going to be working with really, really good guys. And it's going to make the guys like A.R. Fox's and Johnny Gargano's, guys who haven't been up there yet, it's going to make them a lot better. So ultimately, I kind of think this whole NXT trying to compete with Ring of Honor thing is going to be very beneficial for the entire independent wrestling scene and for the enjoyment of professional wrestling. And thank you for letting me on your show, Ed. I very much enjoy it. Thank you, Contraire. I didn't hear Craig's voice, so Craig, wherever you're at, I hope you're doing well. I'd like to give a shout-out to my boy, Matt Cleary. I know you're going through hard times, brother, but keep your head up. And that is about all I can say. See everyone in July. Conor McGregor for the win, baby.
We'll see. But, yeah, thanks for your call, Alex, and we will talk to you again soon. And that pretty much actually wraps up all of Friday because that ended with NXT, so let's move on to Saturday. And Saturday started with which I didn't go to Jim Ross. And by the way, everyone getting kicked out almost happened last year in New Orleans, so it's kind of like a theme that's part of the it's part of the ambiance of going to Jim Ross. You almost get kicked out by security. But luckily they didn't all get kicked out. But anyway, so Saturday started with Shimmer. And so I jumped in a car with my friend Sean, who's an awesome dude who drove a lot of people around, and Kristen Nacogdoches, who is the most Texas-sounding Texan you will ever meet in your life. And we went to go pick up a couple other guys. But before we got there, we had some excitement on the road. There was some serious road rage going on as we were driving, and we saw this fancy-ass car getting ready to pull out of this one place. So we let him pull out. And it was this fancy-ass, like, $300,000 car. And they pull out, but then the asshole behind him decides he's not even going to fucking wait. He's just going to go right behind the guy and cut us off, right? So, boom, my buddy Sean is, like, in furious, dude. I mean, the dude is so pissed off, he starts, like, fucking screaming and honking at the dude and wanting to pull over and kick the dude's ass. And while this is going on, somebody else had cut off that green car, and those dudes had jumped out of their car and were going to go fight those dudes. So when there's one corner by the highway, there's two near fucking fights, man, and just road rage just going crazy. I'm just there like, goddamn, this is pretty interesting. But Sean finally calmed down, and the other guy was just a pussy. He just drove off. He didn't want nothing from my friend. But we finally got off. We got to the show, and it was basically the same venue where they were doing, like, Evolve and just a whole bunch of other shows. And we go, and this was actually, until WrestleMania itself, to me, this was the best show overall. It was the Shimmer. It was a chicks fight tournament. It was, like, basically a 12-woman tournament that the finals was, like, a three-way. And Mia Yim versus Athena was, like, the match. I'm still going to say it was the best match of the weekend. I thought they tore it up. It was awesome. This girl named Evie, who I mentioned earlier, wrestled earlier, she was the MVP in her three matches. Nikki Storm from Scotland was phenomenal. The winner was Kaylee Ray from Scotland. I mean, it was just a great show. And I was protesting the fact that Frazak didn't book Blue Pants, and I was wearing Leva has this black. The last two Shine shows, she's been doing the like a character from the movie The Purge. You seen The Purge?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she's basically the T-shirt has the white mask, and then on the mask it says like Leva. And so, so I was wearing that T-shirt, and I bought a mask, and I put Leva on it, or my friend Bart put Leva on it and put like the lipstick on it. So I was wearing stupid little Purge mask the whole entire Shine show as a protest to Leva not being on the show. And the best part of the whole thing was when Mia Yim came out for her first match, she's like walking around. We were like in the, we were on the side of the hard camera, so that, you know, we had our back to the hard camera, and we were in one corner by one turnbuckle. So Mia's coming around, and she's slapping people's hands, but she's got her game face on. She's trying to be serious, right? So then she sees me in my outfit, and she, I popped the shit out of her because she just fucking screamed and got this big old smile and just totally broke character for a minute. And then she got in and tore it up. And then, like, after the show, they were all sitting at their gimmick tables, you know, selling their stuff, taking photos. And then she had, like, a surgical mask on, and I guess she was sick. And she was, whenever someone wanted to take a photo or get close, she put it on so she wouldn't get them sick. So I was like, hey, you're stealing my gimmick. And she just kind of laughed, and she's like, get your ass over here. We got to take a photo and send it to Leva. So it was, like, the first time a wrestler asked me for my photo and stuff. So I thought that was pretty funny. But I got the more photo pics. I got to take photos, Alex, with Evie, and I got to take a photo with Nikki Storm and Kaylee Ray. And the funniest thing was, like, you know, when they had their tables, they had Ricochet,
mm-hmm.
Puma from Lucha Underground. He was there getting ready for the next show. And he was very entertaining because he was trying to steal all the women's gimmick money. They were taking photos and stuff. And he got pretty close a couple times, but they luckily no one lost any money. I think if he would have tried doing it to Havoc, she would have kicked his ass because Havoc is like three times his size. And basically she's like my size. So she's a big scary girl, but she's super nice. So, but that show was awesome. Until WrestleMania itself, that was my show of the weekend. And then after that, I went to the Hall of Fame. Did you watch the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Okay. Thought the Hall of Fame was great. It was just really, really long. Especially, you know, I had so much going on. I was kind of tired, so it really kind of seemed long to me. But I really enjoyed it. I thought everything was great. Zbyszko fucking... Zbyszko went on way too long because he just lost his train of thought. I mean, it was had he not lost his train of thought, it would have been one of the best ones, but he just kind of kept repeating himself too much and just kind of dragged because of that. But I thought he was good. I thought Medusa was absolutely fantastic and funny and gave one of the best speeches ever, actually. The Connor thing was very emotional and, you know, I mean, extremely emotional. And, as far as anyone who makes fun of the Bushwhackers going in, it's like, thank God for the Bushwhackers because they were the only people who could have followed that and brought the crowd back. And Butch is like the MVP of the Hall of Fame. In my opinion, that old man was just fantastic. You know, I thought everybody was great. I thought Shawn Michaels was fantastic introducing Diesel. And I really enjoyed it. What did you think watching it at home?
Yeah, it was good. I thought that... Medusa and the Bushwhackers was the best, I thought. I thought Medusa was the best just for, you know, talking the history of her career. The Bushwhackers were the best just for the comedy. Zbyszko was okay. I was kind of ready for it to be over. He kept on, just kept on losing the train of thought. But I think he was just overwhelmed by the whole thing, so. That was fine.
Yeah.
It wasn't as bad as some people say.
I don't think he took any notes.
I started to feel like a 15-minute Zbyszko match, and we had 10 minutes to call, and we get that somewhere. But
yeah, I think he didn't write any notes. I think he just figured he'd go out there and wing it, and it just got to him, and it just totally blew him off, you know, off track.
Yeah. I kind of tuned out and did something else during the whole. It just made me a bad person in the whole Connor thing just because it was so long. You had three people talking. So I kind of tuned out and just kind of wishing it would get over with to get to something else. So someone cooked me some dinner during that. But that was fine. Nash was good. Arnold was pretty good, too. So, yeah, it was a really good show.
Yeah, it was just a little too long. And then you can tell they really went long because, you know how, well, yeah, I know you don't go to sporting events, but, like, let's say you go to a basketball game. At the end of the third quarter, they stop selling concessions because they don't want people to get too drunk by the end of it. They stop selling concessions, like, halfway through. Like, I'm pretty sure they tell them, yeah, I'm pretty sure, okay, we're going to be done at this time, so an hour before we'll stop selling. But in reality, it ended up being, like, half the show they didn't sell concessions. So that kind of sucked, I'm sure, some people. Like, my friend Damien wanted to get a beer. Oh, I got to get a shout-out to Damien because he got mad because I didn't shout him out on the thing I sent to the Brian and Vinny show. I forgot. But he actually bought me a lot of tickets in advance. So shout-out to Damien, who will hopefully be listening later on if you're not listening live. And, yeah, the Hall of Fame was cool. And then after the Hall of Fame, met up with Anchor. And the three of us caught a cab back to the WrestleCon hotel where they were having the WrestleCon show. So we got there. We didn't see the whole show, but we got to see, I guess, the main part of it. And basically they cleared out all the tables and stuff, and they just put in a ring and the chairs, and that's where the matches were. But it was cool because what was cool is, like, they had, like, everyone sitting down, and they had, like, people standing, like, around the chairs. And you would just see all these random wrestlers just watching the show. Like, ODB would be with some fans over here. You know, Jessica Havoc was over here. Chris Hero was over here. You know, just random people. You had the Pro Wrestling Insider crew over here trying to act like they're all cool, and they look like a bunch of fat, short nerds and stuff. My friend Damien was all pissed off. I'm like, what are you so upset about? Oh, fuck Mike Johnson, man. Fuck that motherfucker. He tried to steal my girlfriend. I'll kick his fucking ass. I'm like, I look at him, I go, man, you can kill him. Just don't worry about it, dude. But I thought that was funny. But it was real cool. And then a couple of the guys, this one guy, Darnell, I met him in New York, and he was in New Orleans. He's a skinny, flamboyant, black, gay guy. He's real awesome. And him and his buddy George from the UK, they had ran into Victoria, Lisa Marie Verone, and I saw that they were partying. Well, I had extra tickets because I had bought, you know, three extra tickets in hopes that Leva, Mia, and Solo would be able to go to WrestleMania, and then Leva and Solo don't get booked. Thank you, Dave Brazek. And then they booked Mia to fly out Saturday, so I guess, you know, I had three extra tickets. So I saw how my buddy was hanging out with Victoria, so I'm like, dude, ask her if she's still going to be here for WrestleMania and if she'd like to go. And he asked her, and she's like, fuck yeah, I'd like to go. So I gave one of the tickets to her and stuff. So I talked to her a little bit that night and, you know, introduced myself, said I was the one that had got her friend Darnell the ticket and stuff. And she was like, talk to me for a while. She was super cool. And then on one of the other ones, I saw, I was sitting with Damien, and Jessica Havoc saw his hoodie. He was wearing like a Nakamura hoodie, and she just started talking to him about his hoodie and that she had one on order and so, and then I was like, dude, let's ask Havoc if she wants to go. We'll make her sit by Brian and have her terrorize Brian. So I ended up offering her the ticket. I'm pretty sure she went to WrestleMania. She didn't end up sitting with us. I guess she might have just ran into some other people and sat with them. But I talked to her that night. She was super nice. And it's one of those, like, she's so intimidating because she's so big and just, like, you know, she looks like a monster, basically. But she's the sweetest fucking girl. She was awesome. And Trina Michaels ended up taking the third ticket. So I was able to get the tickets went to use, you know, after all. But, you know, my original plans fell through. But this show was badass. Like, the first match we saw was, like, a big 12-man match, and it had like the baby faces were like the Dudleys, Evan Bourne, Big Rick, Colt Cabana, and Tommy Dreamer, and they took on like James Storm, Abyss, Thomas Chiappa, a couple other people, you know, just like random. It was weird. And they were just out there having fun. It was nothing serious going on. Tommy Dreamer tried to do a kick up, and he couldn't do it, so he just kept trying to kick up over and over and over again until he blew himself up. And then James Storm and the referee had to grab his arms and help him kick up, and then they started fighting and continue the match. And it was just stupid shit like that. Finally, they all kind of did the "what's up" spot with the Dudleys, and then Evan Bourne did a shooting star off the top rope, which I swear to God, he was like 6 inches from hitting the roof on his highest part of the rotation, and that's kind of scary. And then we saw, they had a Jushin Thunder Liger and Ricochet and this other guy, Air Fox, against Daniels and Kazarian and Roderick Strong. And that was a badass match. And it was cool seeing Liger wrestle twice. That was like an extra bonus. And then the main event was the main event was Sabu and RVD versus the Hardy Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And they literally tried to kill each other. They're more blessed than Brock Lesnar. It wasn't that bad. I didn't think it was that bad. Like, Craig was all negative about it and bitching about it, but I didn't think it was that bad. But they literally were trying to kill each other, and there were some breaks in the action while they decided how they were going to try and kill each other on the next move. But, you know, I mean, what do you expect from RVD, Sabu versus the Hardy Boys, you know, way past their prime, but still trying to, you know, show that they can go. So I thought that was okay.
Hey, we got a phone call.
Oh, we do? Okay.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, we have more calls today than we've had in years. caller calling from area code 702. Who's this?
What up, Ed? It's Marco from Las Vegas.
Oh, hey, what's going on, Marco? What's happening?
So what's up to everybody? I went to WrestleMania, finally got to go to a WrestleMania. I only got a few seconds, so it's real quick. Did you guys get to see the guys dressed like Golden Stardust?
I'm hearing you real low. Could you talk a little louder?
Yeah, okay. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, now it's much better.
All right. Did you see the guys dressed like Golden Stardust at WrestleMania?
I saw many people dressed like Golden Stardust at WrestleMania, along with about 1,000 Macho Man and Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah. Well, shout out to those guys. It was hilarious having to sit a couple feet from those guys. And I want to give a screw you to the guy from WrestleCon. I was in line on Saturday to meet Jushin Thunder Liger. There was this mark in front of me holding up the line. And he finally gets to the line. And you know how, you know, Liger's got his posters and he'll sign whatever, $20. Well, this mark gets to the front of the line, meets Liger, and brings an 8x10 of himself just for him to sign. So I want to give a screw you to that mark. And as Liger holds the 8x10.
That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah, so screw that guy. So I want to say what's up to everybody. Hope to see you guys in Vegas in a few months.
Well, cool, man. Cool. Yeah, Marco was there sporting his crappy Bullet Club t-shirt when he should have been sporting a Blue Pants t-shirt instead.
Oh, you know who I do. All right, man. I got to head back to work. I'll see you guys. So you have a good show.
Okay. All right, Marco, man. Take it easy.
All right, take care.
Yeah. Yeah, it was actually cool because there were people who actually wasn't expecting to be at the show who were just there over the weekend. Like, they just showed up for, like, one event or another one, and that was pretty cool. But, yeah, that show was pretty cool. And then, like, I got to hang out, talk to, like, Alan Farrell and Johnny Half and a bunch of the members after the show. And that was cool because, man, I talked to so many people from the website. It was crazy. I didn't think there were going to be as many this year, but it seemed like there was even more and stuff. And then, I forgot to mention, when I was at the Hall of Fame, or I guess I should bring it back a few months when I first brought up the idea of getting the bus, had Craig bring it up to Brian and Vinny on the Brian and Vinny show. Mm-hmm. And Craig mentioned that, yeah, we'll probably leave like around 2 or so, and then Brian, that's not going to work. We have to leave much earlier because they're opening the doors at so-and-so. So, of course, I hear that, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll move the bus up, and I have to bus. The bus is supposed to come pick us up to take us to WrestleMania at 11:30. I figure we'll just get there at 11:30. We'll leave around 12. So at the Hall of Fame, I get a text from Brian. What time does Dave need to be at the hotel to get on the bus? So I text him, well, the bus is supposed to get there at 11:30. So then I get a text, 11:30. And he's like, why do we have to be there at 11:30 if they don't open the show don't start till 4? And I'm like, I text him back, okay, well, one, we have to make a stop at another hotel. Two, there's traffic. Three, it takes a while just to get from the parking into the building. And four, you fucking told me we had to leave for early. So then he texts me back, okay. And then later that morning, I get a message from Craig asking, why are we leaving so damn early in the morning? And I'm like, I was kind of getting annoyed because, you know, I mean, I can understand people who, I don't
know. You know, I wouldn't care. As long as I've got somebody else driving me, I don't care what time you leave. As long as I ain't got to drive. you know.
So, but anyway, it worked out perfect. So, you know, the bus gets there, we get everybody on at 12, and then we go to the Ramada, we pick up about 6 people there, and then we drive out there, and I got lucky, I didn't have to pay for parking this year. Because, you know, we were in line with all the cars, so when we got to where, the cars paid the people, he stopped and opened the door, I got out, and I was, like, going to get ready to pay. I was expecting to pay, like, $7,800. But then that guy goes, oh, I need you to, he points to another guy, he goes, I need you to go over there, and they'll tell you where to park. So I was, okay, well, they'll charge me. So we go over there, and they just tell us to turn and point us to somebody else, and then this person points us and tells us to stop. We're, like, the second bus in line by the exit. So we're literally 50 feet from the exit, dude, which was awesome. So we get there, and then I tell the bus driver, okay, we're not getting off right now. We're going to hang out in here. So I specifically asked for a PA system. Big update, my close personal friend, Leva Bates, is coming out on the Shine pay-per-view, and she's got a bunch of people wearing masks, like the one I wore, but not as cool as the one that I wore. But the movement is growing. But anyway, so I give Dave the PA system to do the Q&A because, we got through this plenty of time. And I asked the first question, of course. The first question is, when do I get my vote for the Hall of Fame? And Dave's response was, next question, please. And then everybody's like, you know, like a Q&A, it kind of takes a while to get started. Like, people kind of shy at first.
Yeah.
You know? So I could kind of tell that's kind of how it was. And then
when you're there in person asking people questions.
Yeah. That's how when it starts. But then luckily Alan Farrell was there, so Alan has no problem talking whatsoever. So he just started asking a bunch of questions, and then everybody, got into it, and then it just went on and on and on and on. And finally, like, we were doing it for, like, a long time, and then Brian texts me, and he's all, maybe we should start to wrap. He's sitting at the back of the bus. I'm at the total front. Dave's a little behind me, but he's, he doesn't say nothing. He's texting to get Dave to wrap it up. So I go and I tell Dave, hey, maybe we should start to wrap up. Everyone get your last questions in. All right, so more questions. Dave keeps going and going. Brian texts me a second time. Let's get Dave to wrap this up now. All right, goddamn, Dave, let's get the final question. Let's, wrap it up. Dave, okay, a couple more questions, and then keeps going and going. Finally, Brian sends me like a third list. Really, we really need to wrap this up. He's not saying anything. He's not trying to, and he's got to put it all on me to be the bad guy here. So I was like, fuck that. So I just came up behind Dave, and I'm like, Dave, look, everyone, I'm sorry, but Brian wants me to ruin everybody's fun, and he wants us to wrap up. So then he finally, he wrapped up, and then we got out, and then we got out and went to the stadium. I had to go by will call, and then it was an adventure getting by will call because I thought I was going around where they told me to, but I hit where the train was and started walking there, and turned out it took me right back to where I was, so I had to redo this thing, and then I had to get in line for will call to leave the ticket for Trina. So by the time I got, through will call, I got in, got to my seat. I got there right as soon as the tag match was starting, and I was like the last one to the seats, and the seats were badass. And it was funny, though, because I was like, okay, I got to go to 132. It's row 8. And then I get there, and I'm looking, where the fuck is everybody? Everybody should be here. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then I kind of, look down, and then I'm like, is that George? One of the guys from England? So I go down there, and that's where the seats were. It was row 8 risers. So we were, fucking 50 rows closer than where I originally thought we were. And they were pretty decent. Had a pole in one corner, but wasn't too bad. The poles were much smaller this year. Well, we had a perfect shot of the screen. And luckily, we were on the side. We were on the west side. So the sun only hit the back of our heads for a little bit. And then it was gone. Whereas, a good chunk of that building were in the sun for hours. Until, maybe the last hour is when it finally started getting a little dark or darker. And, but yeah, the seats were awesome. Lisa Marie was there, and this chick, man, she was almost as entertaining as WrestleMania itself, just herself, because, as long as she's been in the business, she's still the biggest fan in the world, because she was jumping up and down, high-fiving everybody, running in circles, screaming, yelling. I mean, nobody had more fun than Victoria at the show. And then Trina got there, like, right when the show was starting and stuff. So I got my date with Trina Michaels at WrestleMania, and no, I didn't have to buy no stinking lottery tickets to do it. So that was fucking awesome. And I was worried, like, I was like, Barb's not a wrestling fan, but she didn't do anything with us Saturday. I let her do her own thing Saturday, but, you know, she went to ROH, NXT, WrestleMania all day. I figured she'd be burnt out, but she actually loved everything about it. And, yeah, it was great, man. It was, everything about WrestleMania was awesome. I should have known that they were doing that thing with Ronda, because she walked by us earlier, like the four of them that walked by down the floor and everybody could see them. And, I should have known, but, you know, I didn't know. And then we couldn't hear that Ronda chant where we were sitting. So that was like a total shock, which I'm glad, actually, because that was like one of the best WrestleMania moments ever, when The Rock pans and the camera panned with him and there's fucking Ronda. That was fun.
No, I know when that segment started, I knew The Rock was coming out at least when they took away Stephanie in the ring. And I knew, you know what, I thought he was just going to, like, walk out of the ring and then just come back in. I know he wasn't, like, there wasn't the end of the segment, but then he went over to Ronda Rousey, and then the camera panned over to her, and it was just like, that was like the best celebrity thing they've done since, like, Austin and Tyson, I think, in 98.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And what did you think of the Terminator entrance? I thought that was fucking awesome.
I like the outfit was kind of goofy. I think I would have had him just be like in Arnold's gear, you know, like in the original movie, with just all leather, like leather jacket and sunglasses and stuff. I thought that would have been a little bit cooler. Some of the entrances I heard by all the daylight.
The entrances could have been all better, like for all of them.
Things in could have been a lot better, and Terminator entrance and the Bray Wyatt entrance and Undertaker would have been a lot better if it wasn't so long, it wasn't so much daylight out there. That was the only bad thing I could say about the show. So.
Yeah. On this match, Havoc went for a tope on everybody outside the ring. She kind of got caught up, so it was like the slowest tope in history, but she's so big, she still wiped everybody out. Oh, and then I love the Hunter entrance. And then the whole price of the WrestleMania ticket was worth it just to see Rusev riding that fucking tank. That was fucking five stars, man.
I'll quote Vinny on the Sting and Triple H match. Near the end, the stuff with the NWO and DA kind of made no sense, but I didn't care because it was just fun to watch. You know?
Right, it was. It was like when the DX music hit, we all marked out, and we were all marking out. And then when the NWO music hit, it was even more of a mark out. And then there's Shawn Michaels all of a sudden. It was like...
Yeah, because you forgot about Shawn Michaels. He wasn't going out with those DX geeks. He was coming out by himself, you know?
Yeah.
So, but, yeah,
Havoc drew Sue Young over the balcony at the bar where the show is, but luckily there was about a group of people who caught her. So I'm guessing they were fans, and thank God they were there. But for a second there, it looked like she literally threw her off the balcony. And so,
I rank this WrestleMania, I think it's top 10 for me at least.
I'm going to put it top 5, maybe top 3 as a whole.
Well, people thought it was like one of the best ever. It's just there was nothing bad on the show. I mean, if you go back and look at it.
It even looks like she's about to jump off the top of this balcony. I hope to God she doesn't do that. Just fucking did.
You did
what? All right, well, thank God all those guys in the mask were there to catch her. Jesus Christ. That was like New Jack high. Wow. That's crazy.
You know, there was nothing bad on the show. I mean, nothing horrible. From top to bottom, it was pretty good. I mean, like the Undertaker and Bray Wyatt, it wasn't the greatest match, but it didn't have to be. It was all just about the Undertaker coming back. Cena and Rusev was okay. You know, it was just like, but you got like, what I thought was like four really good matches, and, you know, the ladder match and Rollins and Orton and Sting and Triple H in the main event. I mean, that main event was awesome, I thought.
Oh, yeah, the main event was great. It was everybody popped big time for when Seth came out and won, even though he was
I probably like the whole thing better than the triple threat at the Royal Rumble, that whole match. I think it's my match of the year so far.
Yeah, it was pretty great. And
went to his shoulder block him off the apron and cut him with the kicks, and then Brock caught his leg and made it not the shit out of him with the damnedest clothesline I've ever seen in my life. Oh, God.
You know, Tessa Blanchard's lucky that I can't see into the future. I wish I had to had Layla smack down her at ROH because she just interfered and cost Leva and Havoc the match. Bitch. But anyway, the main event was awesome. The only thing that people were kind of down for, and I guess it was because it was after The Rock and it had been a long night, but people weren't really into or making a lot of noise. I don't want to say they weren't into because everybody was watching, but they weren't really making a lot of noise during the Undertaker match until they did the crab walk rising from the dead spot, you know, and then that kind of brought the crowd back for the rest of the show. And that was an awesome spot. That was probably the best spot of that match. And, everything was great. What was funny is after, and then Brian's all bitching about this, but it's not like I was the last person on the bus, because I was not the last person on the bus. But we're walking back to the bus after the show, and all weekend long, I am smelling weed everywhere, but I'm just not seeing anybody smoking weed. And this one guy who was supposed to go and take me some weed, I guess he didn't go because I never heard from him. So hadn't smoked the whole weekend. So we're walking through this parking lot, and I'm just walking, and I'm just smelling it here and there. And finally, I see this one dude smoking. So it's like I send Barb. I was like, "Hey Barb, go over there and ask that guy if he'll sell us some weed. You know, send a pretty girl, maybe she'll have some good luck, right?" But where I was telling her that, I was right next to this one car. And the guy who's standing against that car, he's hearing me tell Barb that. So as soon as she walks, he's like, "Hey man, I'm cool right now. But if you guys want, you guys can smoke this joint if you want." So me and my buddy Chris, we smoked the joint with the guy, and one of his friends. So we smoked that joint. As soon as we finished that joint, I hear Barb, "Ed, Ed." So I go over there, and the guy pulls out a pipe and he smokes a big bowl with us there, and then he sold us a gram. So then we make our way back to the bus. We get to the bus, and, like, the bus is fucking full, just about. And everyone's, like, pretty much waiting for me. So I get in, and Dave's, like, front row. And then I'm in charge, so I got to make sure everybody's on the bus. So I took a notebook with everybody's name. But then I left that in Garrett's car. So he ended up, taking a picture and sent it to me on my phone. So basically I just read everybody's name on the list. The problem being is two people had told me that they weren't going to ride the bus after all, and one name I wrote down even though I forgot to take off because he never paid me, but I think I left him on there. So there were like three names that didn't answer when I called, and then when I finished, that's when I realized there were like people who were standing right behind me waiting to get on, and that was one of them. And like I say, one of them had canceled, and the other one ended up not being on the bus. But I'm like, I'm fucking stoned out of my fucking mind, standing next to Dave Meltzer, reading this list and acting like I'm paying attention and know what's going on and I'm in complete control, when in reality I'm fucking high as fuck. So I figure I got everybody's name, and then I'm like, okay, I think we're good, but let's wait 5 more minutes. So I have everyone in 5 more minutes, and then I go and I count everybody head, go and do a head count just to make sure. So we, and then while we're there, it only took us like maybe 10 minutes to get out of the parking lot, if that. But while we're doing that, Dave's talking to a few of us, and there's a bunch of people who have been drinking, right? So they're all drunk trying to get Dave to do a Q&A, and I'm like, okay, well, Dave's definitely not going to do it now, right? I mean, another Q&A. So as soon as the bus starts to move, Dave just kind of like looks around and, "Give me the microphone." So he doesn't get out because we're moving, but he just sits down in the chair and he just starts doing a second Q&A on the whole way back. And what was funny is we're doing it and his phone rings. He's like, "Oh, I think it's my boss." And I guess we're thinking it's his wife. And then he goes, "Oh, it's the law." So I'm really thinking it's his wife. But no, you know how he does the law on Sundays? So it's fucking John Pollock basically calling him to see when we could do the show, and Dave's talking to him about seeing, well, Dave wanted to do it there live, and John wanted like him to kind of get away. But the funny thing is, he's doing this whole conversation on the phone, and he's got the microphone right next to his mouth, so we heard like the whole conversation. And shit, it was funny as hell. And then the best comment was, like, people were asking if it was a sellout or this and that, and Dave, oh, no, I counted, like, 2,000 seats. He made it sound like he counted 1, 2, 3, 4. It was fucking hilarious, dude. And then we just got back to the hotel pretty quick. I mean, it was one of the easiest I've never gotten out of an arena or stadium that big, or even a mid-sized one, you know, like a basketball one, that fast. I mean, we were literally out of there within minutes. You know,
oh, really?
And like I said, and got the park for free at that too, you know, so that saved me like $100 just on that. So we get back to the ring, we take a group photo, some of us do our own thing, we go by the pool just to hang out, talk, and finally security starts to run us off because we were pretty loud and it was starting to get late. So that was pretty much, you know, the end of my adventure because I did leave the next day. I didn't stay for Raw, so-and-so. But it was awesome. Got to meet, like, fucking so many, like I say, so many people from the website. It was fucking cool. And trying to think if there's anything I'm forgetting here, dude. What happened that last day? Fuck, dude. I'm starting to blank. But, yeah, everything, like I say, everything worked out perfectly. And definitely got to get a bus for next year. And I'm already working on getting... Dave's a maybe, but if he does, I'm sure he'll do a Q&A. And I've already talked to another former pro wrestler who may be in town working shows. And if he is, he will be doing a Q&A. So we'll either have a double Q&A on the bus, or maybe we'll even rent two buses and have Dave and this person do a Q&A on the way, and then they could just switch buses on the way back. So plans are already being made. I know I quit last 2 weeks ago, but I'm back. God damn it. No one else can do this shit but me. So... taking care of it. So, yeah, next year will be fun, and you'll be there, so you'll be able to be on the bus, hopefully, and not drunk and causing trouble and in jail somewhere. Oh, I got one more story. I can't believe I almost forgot this story. So at that WrestleCon, I went and had to go back to my room to get that extra ticket to give that Havoc. So when I'm walking back, I see one of the Shimmer girls, a little tiny Japanese girl, Takagawa, and she's walking. I can tell she's got her translator. And there's somebody else, but I'm not paying attention. I'm just walking, and then right when they get up to me, I just hear, Ed! And I look, and it's Dave Prazak, who I was looking for the whole Shimmer show so I could fuck with, but I never saw him. So I hear him yell my name, and I look, and it's him, and then he just comes up to me and gives me a hug, and, Ed, I'm so sorry, Ed. I promise if you go to the 10th anniversary show after Raw, I promise she'll be on the show, Ed, and she'll be even bigger because she wasn't here, Ed, and just... started apologizing for not booking Blue Pants. So that was pretty cool. Oh, we got the 90-second thing. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. Just check out AngryMarks.com. You can also download and stream our show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Catrere and older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
You can go to YouTube.com/Catrere. Got a bunch of videos up there, so check them out.
You probably won't finish in time, but you want to read Craig's message because he did want to thank some people other than me.
Okay.
God damn, this thing's long. Okay.
I know.
Did Ed stepped up to the plate and took on a task no one else would. While the bus did go the wrong way, Ed was not familiar with the state. I guess not. Ed in San Antonio, not Ed in California. All in all, aside from being late, the bus and dinner, with one end, came off without a hitch. So, Eddie, I'm sorry for coming across as angry with you. Lack of sleep and being completely exhausted makes a guy say things he usually will not, but no excuses. Many thanks to all the Empire and even some listeners of the show. I was absolutely humbled at how many people shook my hand and wanted to get a photo. Wayne and Garth said it best, we're not worthy. Did not meet one person who was a tool. In fact, the opposite. Thanks to Matt Clary for being a great roommate. Thanks to Robin Clark for being a great addition to our travel plans. Thanks to Danes and Alan Forrell for
your amazing enthusiasm. I can't help but be in a good mood when I see those guys. I know I'll miss many more, so I just stop. Viva La Empire. See you, Cats, in 2016 in Dallas. So.
Cool. Craig was being Craig. That's the only way I can describe Craig. Okay, I'm going to have to knock Craig here. Aim at Clary, because we had two rows of 10, and they were like white metal chairs, but they were all connected with this long bar like underneath them, and then they had the ties, so they were kind of like close together. And then there were like two rows on like, okay, the way the risers were, it wasn't like every row was on a different step. There were two rows per step, right? The front one and the back one. The back one had plenty of leg space. That's the one we were on, thank God. Front one didn't have as much. So you had Craig and Matt Clary sitting next to each other, and then Brian was supposed to sit next to them. And then Sean, my buddy Sean, was next to them. But there wasn't very much space between Matt Clary and Sean. So Brian basically ended up sitting in the seat that Jessica Havoc was going to sit on, so he could actually have full room. But, yeah, the seats were great. They're just not big enough for extra-large people. Like, I'll even include myself. Like thank God I was sitting next to Barb and Trina, so, you know, it's not like I had other big guys approaching on me. I had two, you know, two chicks that I didn't mind being forced to be squeezed against. And in fact, I really didn't mind being like that next to him. yeah, that was actually funny that Brian couldn't sit in his seat because there just wasn't enough space for him to sit. But that's the only thing I'm going to knock Craig and Matt Clary about. But, yeah, everything was cool. Everyone was awesome. I'm trying to think, because I know once we hang up, I'm going to think of something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So is there any questions you have about anything or anybody?
No, not really. What kind of questions does Dave get asked in these Q&As? I'm just kind of curious.
A lot of it was WrestleMania. The first, like, really non-WrestleMania kind of question was, there was this one guy. He took, like, 6 or 7 spots on the bus. And him and his buddies were drinking. But one of them in the group was this girl. And this girl was fucking hot, dude. I can't think of her name right now, but, oh, my God, she was smoking. And she was like the first non-website member to ask a question, and her question was, if you could describe Marty Jannetty in one word, what would it be? And Dave, a flake. He's a flake. Which is probably the best way to describe Marty Jannetty in one word, actually. But, you know, I started to bring up blue pants. You really going to ask about blue pants? I'm like, yes, Dave, I'm really going to ask about blue pants. But yeah, he did. It was a different thing. You know, there were different things. Half had some really good technical questions. One of the funniest parts is because Alan was kind of towards the front, and like I say, at the beginning he kind of started it off by asking a lot of questions, so he was in that mode of asking a bunch of questions. So when we were kind of toward the end, he did anymore, and then Alan had. Somebody behind Alan had raised their hand, but Alan starts to talk, and Dave kind of shut Alan down. He goes, let me get the person back here who hasn't asked a question. And Alan's girlfriend, Pingu girl from the board, she fucking pops for that so big. Alan getting shut down. And shout out to Alan and Pingu girl, because they brought me a bunch of European chocolate candy, and I've been enjoying that. I had to actually give it to my mom because I was eating too much at a time, and not good for me. As awesome as it is. But I got to have breakfast with the two of them that last day. And just even like when I was waiting to take, you know, I was killing time, you know, after I had to check out and was waiting to take the shuttle to the airport, there was like one guy who messaged me saying, hey, I didn't get to meet anybody. I've been working and so-and-so, but I'm off right now. Can I just come meet you and hang out with you? And then the dude came over and just wanted to hear stories, so that was actually kind of cool. But, you know, he didn't get to hang out with everything, but then he it was weird, just some dude wanting to hang out with me or whatever. But yeah, that was cool. And I like San Jose. I didn't get to see no sightseeing or anything really, but as far as everything else was nice. The weather was pretty decent. It wasn't really overly hot. Big nice breezes at times. All the people were awesome except for those fucking security guards, you know. But You know, Dave was cool. Dave was very overdressed everywhere he went, it seemed like. Wale Mania, everybody was all dressed like hip-hop, and Dave was all in, like a three-piece suit almost. And Dave was real cool the whole weekend. And he's getting more and more comfortable. You know what I mean? The only way Dave would talk to you if you were actually talking wrestling. But he's actually kind of overcoming that, and you'll actually hear him do some small talk now and then with people. It's amazing, and everybody wanted to meet and take pictures of Dave. Dave was like a big hit on the weekend, and he really seemed to enjoy it. So that was pretty awesome. And man, like I say, I'm still trying to rack my brain if I'm forgetting anything, but just shout out to everybody who helped out in any way. And everyone that I met, shout out to Crap Gang for getting the Blue Pan started. Chant started at NXT. I owe him a bunch of beers at Vegas, some Vegas time. And everyone, come to Vegas or come back to the main event, to WrestleMania next year in Dallas, and we will definitely have a good time. Anything you want to say before we wrap up here?
No, not really. This year's show was I think it was the most fun WrestleMania in a long time. I don't know, there was nothing bad on the show. Just fun.
I think everyone had such low expectations that it exceeded them to such a degree, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because like I say, I wasn't excited. It was the least thing I was looking forward to, the Shimmer show. Well, then I even got down on that when I found out there was no Blue Pants, and then Hall of Fame started off with a bang with Randy Savage, but then it just didn't really, the other ones just weren't really, you know what I mean? It wasn't capturing my attention, you know. Had the whole Jim Ross fiasco, so that didn't help me as far as wanting to deal with everything. I mean, the thing I was looking forward to the most is getting to hang out with Barb for the most part, but then everything the Shimmer show was incredible. Everything was, all the shows were incredible. Hall of Fame went along, but it was great. WrestleMania, you know, I wasn't looking forward to anything on WrestleMania, and then that turned out to be one of the funniest shows ever. So, yes, big thumbs up to this WrestleMania. Everyone's welcome. I saved it for everyone, so everyone had a good time thanks to me, and you all are very much welcome. And with that, we will wrap it up here. We'll be back next week, and there's a bunch of international Shimmer girls on tour right now, so I'm going to do everything I can to see if I can get some interviews, but who knows how that'll go. But, yeah, everybody come back next week, and we will talk. Where the fuck is this song? God damn it. Now it's even harder that they change. Oh, here it is. Everybody come back next week, and we will talk to you then.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man!
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick! Let's go hook him up!
Oh! Here, about our heads,
I want to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is awesome.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.